Hello, welcome to Waldman's Words with my least favorite voice of myself. I was at Warped Tour in Pomona, and I honestly did more talking than watching bands, and that sucks, because I like music. Anyway, let's be positive. I've got JJ Kasiri here right now. I'm looking at him, and he looked at me earlier, so I feel pretty good. And we're going to talk about a lot of things, including his new business venture, 33 and West. Which, I'm from New York, that sounds like Penn Station to me, so I'm cool with that. I'm so happy he was here. We scheduled this in May of 1873, so we're finally here right now. He's drinking hot cocoa. I love hot cocoa. I really do. And I have a water to my left. I'm not sponsored by Aquafina, but if you want to sponsor this show, can't see me, I will drink the shit out of your water. I love it. So the next few weeks are going to be pretty awesome on the show. I'm going to look at my calendar. Next week is actually July 4th. But by the time this episode airs, because it airs about 3 to 4 weeks after it's recorded, we already have celebrated America's independence. So mazel tov to us. We have John Oakes on the show of Freeze Management. After that, the following week, we have Ryan Aceto, who actually manages some people in the country space, and I am very eager to learn about the country space because it is definitely one of the biggest markets. We try to have as many people from behind the scenes on the show as possible. As you know, if you've been listening, or if you haven't, now you're going to learn. I try to focus on the behind the scenes people. Sometimes I have people that are in prominent bands, and sometimes I have people who are major booking agents, in my opinion, like JJ, or major A&R people like Chris Foytel, and people who are just up and coming, like managers at my level or managers smaller or whatever. This is designed to teach you. So if you're listening to the show and you want to become a booking agent, I'm telling you, listen to JJ Kasiri's, whose last name I just learned how to pronounce, story. The following week, we've got Jasmine on the show, and I'm just going to leave it like that because it's kind of like the name Selena or Madonna. So I think it's going to be pretty cool. Every single Tuesday, 5 o'clock our time Pacific, and 8 o'clock JJ and Scott's original time, Eastern time, the show airs every single Sunday morning, bright and early, 5 a.m. Pacific time, 8 a.m. Eastern time, the show airs. Also, you could find it on iTunes, on the podcast app. Download, subscribe for free. It's free. I would like your money, but I'm not asking for it. You could do that for free. I just stumbled upon free because my last name's Waldman and I'm Jewish, so it's fucking weird. So there's that. And also, you can go on the Adobe website, adobe.com, and stream every single episode. We're almost at 100 episodes, which is amazing. We started this almost 2 years ago. And I want to thank each and every one of you guys from the bottom of every layer of me for tuning in, because I couldn't do this if you weren't listening. So I'm going to lay off the sap right now. We'll be with JJ after these wonderful commercials, after these wonderful ads, after these wonderful Adobe songs, and It's a Wonderful Life. Hello. Welcome to Waldman's Words with Mr. JJC.
JJC, I like that.
I just did it, man. We're starting on a like foot. So JJ is here, I am there, and we are everywhere.
Very inspirational, you know, I like that.
Hashtag inspirational. Oh my God, in my Facebook feed, I love it, and this is sarcastic. The people that are posting inspirational quotes that I'm not inspired by.
I'm on the same page as you, but some are cool. Some are cool, but you know, I don't need 16 million people telling me to get my ass in the gym because like—
Or Shakeology.
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah, so, but hey, it works for people, and if it works for you, it works for you. If it doesn't, it is what it is.
Well, it's kind of like you said the word some, and the definition of some to me is one or more, like someone, and the definition of most is like 50.001%. So if it works for someone or more, great. Just don't try to get me to buy it. Anyway,
yeah,
that's my stance on everything. So JJ, you are here. We've got, I guess, a pizza bagel here, the Italian Jew. So we're going to do this in style. I'm really, really honored. We scheduled this. I was joking that we scheduled this like 2 centuries ago. We didn't, but we did schedule it a while ago.
Yep.
So how did we meet?
I think it was you harassing me to book some of the bands you manage.
I was pre that. It was me. And thanks for using the word harassment. I would love to send you a definition of that word. But basically, I met you at Warped Tour.
Yep.
And I wasn't even managing then.
You were not managing then. At the time, I was representing a great band by Crown the Empire, and they're playing the Ernie Ball stage. This is now what? That was 2003 or 2002?
Crown the Empire? No, like 2014.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm totally no, dude. Sorry. The hot chocolate has not kicked in yet, so now I feel better.
Crown the Empire released The Ardents in the Ambulance. Oh, shit. Right. I fucked up my own joke. Crown the Empire released Billy Talent's One.
Yeah. 2012 or 2013, probably. About 5-6 years ago, probably. Yeah. They're on that stage, and you came up to me and introduced yourself.
And what was kind of crazy was that now they're doing really, really well. But at the time, they were playing the smallest stage there, and there weren't that many people watching them. And I was like, this band's cool. And, oh, wow, that's JJ, agent guy. I am Scott, musician guy. Let me see what I can do, guy. And now, 73 years later, you're on my radio show.
Yeah, well,
sorry for harassing you, bro.
Hey, you know, it was all in good intentions, right?
Yeah, I hope. Yes.
But that's a prime example of connecting the dots of, you know, if you're a younger manager or a younger agent or a younger tour manager or whatever you want to see yourself as or you're becoming, it's about connecting the dots. And because when I was younger, I would go to shows and, you know, I would look in the crowd. I mean, I did my research what people looked like. I know they call it trolling now, but that's what we did. I mean, that's at least what I did. You know, I would say I would look
it's
up the
research,
managers.
Dude.
I would look up
it's research.
I would research who these people are, because on the websites for the agencies and the management companies, you don't see their pictures most of the time. And back then, there was MySpace, but there was no Facebook back then. I mean, to be honest,
dude, I was Friendster. I'm 37.
Oh yeah, well, I didn't have Friendster.
I'm sorry, I just aged myself.
I thought kids weren't. I mean, I didn't have Friendster. I thought like Friendster wasn't cool for me.
I mean, I could tell you that MySpace no matter what I did, jam. It wasn't cool. But like, When Facebook became prominent, I was hesitant because I didn't have an EDU and I was out of college.
Yep.
So I felt kind of like I shouldn't be on Facebook. This should be them. But then obviously now moms and grandmas are on it.
Yeah, you needed a college email address to get Facebook. Yep. But anyways, the point I'm trying to make is I would go to these festivals and I would, you know, invest my own money to go to these events, and I would see these booking agents or other managers and artists and mm-hmm. stuff, and I would see them at the shows, and I'd be like, that's you know, artist X or agent X, and I'd go up to them, you know,
ANRY, publicist Z.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
So I would go up to them, but in a most tactful way as possible, without becoming, we call it punisher. So because we have. And you're sometimes we're all punisher at one point of our lives because we know how to approach.
But then
people.
We go through punishment puberty, and correct. Then hopefully we age into artists formerly known as punisher.
Correct. Yeah. So, but yeah, it was about looking across the room or the venue to say, oh, that's agent X. Like, I want to go up and talk to them, and that's what you did. And now look, we're here now doing this.
So you only get one. I guess something to take from that is you only get one chance to make a first impression. Obviously. It led to this, and after this, I don't remember the exact timeline, but I believe it was either late last year or earlier this year, we actually had a meeting when I was a manager. So perseverance, man, and doing it like you said, making a good impression, because obviously we're all going to fuck up at some point. We're not going to make a great impression on everyone we meet. I mean, we're not politicians, as we discussed pre-show.
Sure.
But if you're a good person, if people recognize you have good intentions, if people recognize that you're hustling, and if people recognize that you have a good product behind it, the sky's the limit.
Well, everybody comes from something. You know, I mean, everyone comes from the bottom. I don't care if you're Post Malone, Drake, to whatever
but
it is.
But he started from the bottom. I mean, he was on Degrassi.
Sure. I mean, but he was bottom barrel. Like, he wasn't the super, superstar on that show.
I was
show,
making a joke,
you know?
Sorry. Dad joke, sorry.
Yeah, no, it's it's we all come from something, you know. If that's, you know, majority, we all of us have some sort of story, you know. So I try to keep that into account of, you know, always being humble and being understanding of people like that want to be in, because entertainment's tough, you know. It's a doggy dog world, wild wild west out here, you know.
And it's not as bad as advertising or law. I can say that without a shred of
doubt. Yeah, I wouldn't know. So
my wife worked in advertising. Now she works at a travel zoo. Excuse me. And I worked in law, and I can tell you that like the worst people I've met in music, and obviously there are some bad people, don't even compare to some of the people I met.
Yeah, for sure. I don't doubt it. But I mean, yeah, I just keep to account that we all have our story, and we all came from somewhere, and mm-hmm. we all have been grinding to get where we're at, and we do need each other to make a living and to proceed and to further our careers.
Well, so. I mean, you can't do this alone, and we'll definitely talk about your new company mm-hmm. because that relates to that. But something you brought up really resonates with me, and it's something I've been talking about on this show and off this show. Have you ever watched American Idol?
I have.
Okay, so have you ever noticed that usually the cockiest, most douchey people never make it?
I haven't watched it in a while, but I can see that, yes.
The ones that, like, when they're auditioning for the show, and I know that
they're always like,
yo, I'm going to kill it. Like, I'm the best ever. Like, I won a blue ribbon at my high school thing, and everyone wants to have sex with me. They're always the ones when they audition, they're pitchy, they're flat, they don't sing well. Or if they do sing well, they're just so unlikable that they don't make it far.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't watched that show in a while. My mother loves that show. Shout out to Patricia Cassiri.
Patricia, I just want to say, Patricia, your son's a very nice boy.
And she makes the bombest meatballs of all time, dude.
Oh my God.
Like, that's all I got.
Dude, I would love some frozen... Are they Floridian meatballs?
No, she's from New York, bro. Dude. So she does it right. You know?
I'm from New York, too. Yeah. What part of New York?
She's from Long Island.
Wait,
from Westbury.
Okay, Westbury. So. I used to work in Westbury when I worked in law, and I'm from Lido Beach.
Nice. Okay. Mike Tarp. Nice. But this is like, she's about 40 years older than you. So she's more OG than you.
I mean, she's more OG than me just because she's Italian. And I can't, my wife is an incredible cook. I microwaved your hot chocolate. That's what I did. And that is but you said it was good. So I did okay.
Great hot chocolate from Starbucks.
I did not make the chocolate. I brought it here and it was lukewarm chocolate. And I was like, oh, okay. I should zap this for 15 seconds. So that is how well I will do in the kitchen with Mama Patricia's meatballs. I will zap it.
Yeah, for sure. No, she'll be pissed about that, though. You can't zap the meatballs.
Patricia, can you put earmuffs on for the rest of the show? No, I love Italian food. Everyone gives L.A. shit about this, and I'm going to defend L.A. right now. And then we're going to actually talk about substantive career stuff. But in Los Angeles, people are always like, oh, there's the good pizzas in New York or the good Chinese is in New York. It's like L.A., believe it or not, because I'm not from here. I've lived here 15 years, is the number one city, according to Zagat, with food. There are some really great pizza places, some really great Chinese places, but it's not as consistent. Just like there's some great Mexican restaurants on the East Coast, but it's not as consistent out here. Thoughts?
Sure. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. John and Vinny's is my jam here.
John and Vinny's is dope. Place, so. I like Abbott's for sliced pizza in Venice. And for sit-down baller pizza, Mozza. Holy shit.
But you know what? Good old Rainbow Room, though, dude. I revert back Lemmy. There. I revert back there for pizza, and you know that's
late night greasy pizza
for sure.
And I'm gonna defend that too.
Cool.
I like that we're agreeing. All right. So what got you into music, and where were you?
You know, I'm originally from Fort Lauderdale, Sunrise, Florida.
The 954.
Yep, the 954.
Broward County,
Sunrise. What's up?
What's up, Hollywood? Mima, my grandma, who's quite older than Patricia. She lives there.
Yep.
So shout out to Carriage Hills.
Yep. So, moved out in seventh grade. You know, went to West Palm Beach in Lake Worth, on the border of Wellington and Lake Worth, with my parents and my sister. And was going to school and in high school . You know, my friends were in local bands and got my first taste of going to a local show.
Everyone starts a local band.
Yeah, I never was in a band. I was actually, that's not true. Okay.
I mean, you kind of look like you were.
Nobody knows this. Only a couple of people know this, but I was in a band for maybe 1 month.
Wait, sorry. 25,000 people are going to now know this. Just so you know, this is not going to be a secret anymore.
It was called That Day.
Okay. I know That Dog and A Day to Remember, which you're related to.
Yep.
That Day sounds like 2002 Vagrant Records to me.
That Day, I was a screamer, and we were a band for 1 month, and we did a couple practices, and then we never played a show.
So what I'm going to do as That Day's manager is peddle you to JJ. That JJ.
Yeah.
All right. That Day, honestly, anyways. I liked them till they sold out.
Yeah, exactly. So... I started going to shows and, you know, got really interested in, this whole world of concerts and meeting a lot of my friends through the community of this world, the punk rock, metal, hardcore world.
And WWF. Sorry.
Yeah. That was already happening. You know,
that was my bar mitzvah theme.
Yeah.
So it's like, I say F, I know it's E now.
Yep.
No F and E, but like, I can tell you that, to be honest with you, I'm just as excited to talk to you about that.
That's a whole different podcast. That's a whole different podcast.
Waldman's Words Federation.
Yeah. So, but long story, little short is, started going to local shows and then, I was going to shows and like half the bands weren't on the flyer that I was going to and it was running late. And I was like, you know what? Like, I want to do a show. Like, I want to book my own concert. And then I walked into the venue called Spanky's at the time on Clematis Street, RIP. And
RIP Spanky's.
RIP Spanky's. And I walked into the owner, you know, and said, hey, my name is JJ. I want to book a concert.
How old were you?
I think I was 17 years old, probably.
And you're 18 now, so it's been a minute.
Right. went in and did a show and started just booking local shows. And that's when I started really, a flourishing of meeting other outside, bands from outside of my community. And that's kind of how I got linked up with the Data Member guys. And they're from Ocala. And they were,
City of Ocala.
City of Ocala. And that's when Josh in the band, the bass player, hit me up and was like, hey, my name is Josh from Data Remember, and I'm in a local band called the Data Remember, and we heard you're the guy to play these shows in these local hardcore shows in West Palm.
You know what's crazy is, let's go on a Data Remember tangent, because I've been going to the Warped Tour quite regularly for 20 years. Actually, 1998, the first Warped Tour I went to on Randall's Island in New York. Now it's at Jones Beach, which is 10 minutes from my mom's house. But it wasn't then. And on the main stage, Kid Rock and Deftones played that year, and Rancid and Pennywise and NoFX and Bad Religion. And some bands have, I guess, quote unquote, graduated the scene, but are still lumped in it. And I like that. Like A Day to Remember and Bring Me the Horizon, I would say, are the two from the past, let's say, this decade. And A Day to Remember, I first heard about them just before Homesick came out. And holy fuck, did that help them.
Yeah, that was and their name is Treason, that album before the first Victory one.
Yep.
So that was the first one, But anyways, yeah, so linked up with those guys and started booking them pretty much all their shows became really close with them. They would stand,
This is pre-Victory?
Pre-Victory.
Okay.
And they would stay, they sleep at my house. My mom would make us food. Patricia would do the laundry, meatballs, the whole ziti, the whole nine.
A meatball to remember.
Yeah. And they started touring, and I was booking all their tours, and we just became very close friends, and we kind of came up together, I met a lot of people through them and with them, and they exceeded, of course, and then I did my thing, and I'm here now, and I went back to Florida after I started tour managing them, because I wanted to pursue the booking agent.
How long did you tour manage?
I was out with them for about 2 years.
So like 9-10 months a year tour managing, like that kind of grueling one?
Or? Yeah, we were out. I mean, we were playing anywhere we could, any tours we can jump on and such, So I was out with them, and it's just just was like, hey, I like this booking agent thing. I was meeting other bands on the road, like For Today and like this whole the MySpace era.
I saw their last tour.
For Today,
We Came as Romans and Miss May I.
My Children, My Bride, I booked back in the day. A lot of these bands, My Children, My Bride is now on Warped Tour.
And Leah was literally, their manager was just the last episode aired.
Yep.
Which is, and John Wilson, who now, he was, yeah. This world is fucked.
Yeah, I was booking my children on the first album on Solid State, and that was like a bit pop, it was like a really popping album. So I was meeting all these bands on the road, Whitechapel and et cetera, et cetera. And it's like, you know, I kind of like this booking agent thing. You know, I was meeting promoters. You know, I dropped out of, I was going to college.
What,
you know,
school?
It was Palm Beach Community College, but now it's Palm Beach State College, the state now. So I was going there for a couple semesters, and then Data Member was coming more full time, and I was, of course, booking shows at the club on Clematis Street. And, you know, just like decided to take the leap of faith and, take the leap of faith and
good catch.
Thank you.
I threw him a cough drop because I'm taking one.
So I took a leap of faith and, you know, took the agent, you know, the tour managing thing full time, booking shows, and then eventually came back to Florida and they kept touring. And then I pursued the booking agent thing with my own little company.
It became more than a booking agent thing. It became booking agent.
Yeah. I mean, it was called the Vital Agency. That was like their first original name I had. And, you know, I thought, My buddy Joe Preet back in Florida, he said, what you're doing is something vital, which is something needed, you know?
Necessary.
I like that word, you know? So we came up with the Vital Agency. And
Vitology is a really good underrated Pearl Jam record.
Correct. Yeah. So
your eyes were sincere there. So people can't see that.
Yeah, no, for sure. So, you know, I pursued it and started booking bands out of my mom's, you know, fourth bedroom and the workout room that she never used. No, sorry, Mom.
The room that when I went to college, my bedroom became the treadmill room.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah. That was the treadmill room, yeah. You know, and I sat there and started hammering away.
That was your first experience with some real fitness on tour.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then pursued that and the band started getting signed. And the first band I signed that was kind of broke me out, not broke me out, but got me introduced to a bunch of more major label and the few by Ramens, the Atlantics, was Versa Emerge.
Dude, oh my God. Well, they, if the, it means a lot
Sierra,
to you, and yeah. I think that Fix It Zero is sick. I love that album. I remember their cover of Toxic. I thought that they were such a good band. In fact, I put some of their songs on mixes to this day.
Yeah, so they were from West Palm, my hometown.
Damn right.
This is before Sierra was in the band, actually, before they had a gentleman singer.
It was Blake,
singer.
Right? Well didn't the guy who produced Paris was in Versa Emerge?
Blake it was the guitarist for Versa, and I guess, don't quote me on this, but became one of the main writers for Paris.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, he produced. He did.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Their breakout.
Yeah, for sure. So,
I will quote you on that.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
And looking back on it now, I think... And maybe I'm wrong, but my whole thing about that thing is that band is, I think Versa was supposed to be what Paris is. You know, that's what they were trying to do.
And they were ahead of their time.
Yeah. But anyway, so I came with, you know, Versa signed to FBR, Few by Ramen. Yeah. And that's when I started meeting John Janik and Joe Calitri and all those guys, Ozone and Brett Descent. And I moved to New York, essentially. And I was meeting all these dudes from in New York. I moved to Queens.
Do you want to hear my Janik story? And then we'll go to actually 33rd and West. It's pretty awesome.
Sure.
So my old band, The City Drive, had an offer from Columbia. And then this label came in called Decadence Records, mm-hmm. which was a subsidiary of Fueled by Ramen, of this band Fall Out Boy that at the time was direct support for Taking Back Sunday. And I heard Take This to Your Grave. I'm like, this band's going to be pretty big. And the guys in the band thought Fall Out Boy was all right, and I was like really into them. I still am. And so we got the offer from Columbia, and we got the offer from them, and I'm like, we should take them. And everyone, the manager and the band included, were like, are you crazy? It's like dramatically less money. And I said, the money will come. So I got outvoted, and then they signed a band called Panic at the Disco.
Yep.
Fun. And
boom.
Fun. Speaking of Fueled by Ramen, fun. So foresight, and you really can't predict, but I mean, with Versa Emerge, I truly, like, I'm going to go on my phone right now and show you that I own their shit because yeah. I loved that band. Yep, Versa Emerge, Fixed It Zero,
yep.
And the EP.
The EP was great.
Owned.
The EP was
great. I like Fixed It Zero more. I like the last song on the record, the one that has, like, clips of every other song.
Mm-hmm.
What was it called?
I See Blake. You know, I saw him recently.
Lost Tree.
That's great.
That's an epic song.
I saw Blake not too long ago at the El Rey, couple years ago when Paris was playing the El Rey Theater. So
it's all coming back.
Yeah, exactly.
So we're going to take a short break. And I guess if you can come up with one adjective to describe what we just did, I will say quick, because that went by pretty fucking quick. So your turn.
I will say pleasant.
Okay. I that's better than unpleasant.
Yeah.
So stick around, enjoy these commercials, enjoy these songs, and maybe go to the bathroom. Do whatever you gotta do. Come right back. Hello. We are back with JJ Kasiri, and I want to hear about 33 and West. So, yeah.
Yeah.
This is a more chilled portion of the show.
33 West with JJ. How's it going?
33 and JJ. The other day, I had a stevia.
I would be lying if I didn't say that the name came from Larry Bird, because
you like the Celtics.
Big Celtic fan, as well as Matt Pike, who's a partner in the company, and Dan Rosenblum, who's a big Larry Bird fan. So I'm not gonna lie that the number 33 didn't come from Larry Bird. So.
My wife went to school in Boston. I'm from the East Coast. I know that I'm legally not supposed to, as a guy who was raised on the Yankees, but I love Boston. Quincy Mockett's sick. I'm done.
Yeah. yeah. So the name. It's been a journey to get to where we're at now with 33 and West. You know. Especially because of the paths that me, Dan Rosenblum, and Matt Pike have taken, you know, from agency group, working at Circle Talent Agency, you know, working at TKO, Dan being from UTA, and Matt owning his own company for 16 years, the Kenmore Agency.
But you guys all have worked in the field for a while, just different companies, and then together and now together.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the last stint was at Circle Talent, and we worked together.
Which is where me and you met.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, not Crown the Empire, but like that's literally where we met, and now it's different.
Yeah, so it's been a journey, but it's been a long overdue, you know, journey to reach. You know,
sound like you've been through it. Like you sound exhausted talking about it. Like it's been a journey. No, I'm serious. Like when reflecting on certain subject matters, because like I mean, this is your livelihood. This is your life. I don't trust people who don't take business personally. You have to be a sociopath. So it's like, obviously you have to separate emotion from logic and all that. But like, no, I mean, it's a very new venture. It just got publicized. Like I told you this when you were parking, how fortuitous is it that you're here now? So it's like crazy.
Yeah. And it's also cool to, you know, reflect on where we've come from and now where we're at now.
That's
you
what
know?
Waldman's Words does. It's a show of reflection. And reflection times two.
But yeah, it's we launched it on Monday, and you know, we have a great roster of clients in all sorts of genres, and you know, also dipping into TV and film, and of course, sports, comedy. I mean, you know, it's not going to be just three guys sitting on their couch booking metal, you know.
which I, for the record, I don't know if you saw me, but I. Maybe you did. We waved at each other. I saw you at the ICP Attila show. So it's like that was fucking crazy, by the way.
Yeah.
The one at the Regent.
Yeah. I mean, we represent Attila and ICP.
Yeah.
So putting that package together was very fun. And it was a prime example of a mixed bill, you know, and I think that needs to happen more often with mixing bills together like that. And some people were like, oh, you're crazy. I'm like, no, it's like Attila and ICP are the Attila is the band in the quote scene that can do that tour, and it was successful. You saw the Regent show; it was pretty packed.
I've never seen so much merch on a like ICP had more merch than the entire Warped Tour.
It's
insane. Yeah. And what's crazy is what you bring up is interesting, because I have a buddy named Jason. Shout out to Jason Greenlee, who told me, because he grew up in Minneapolis. He said there's a thing called the Minneapolis show where it's like five bands. A funk band, a punk band, a hardcore band, a klezmer band, and a jazz trio. Like, completely different, and it works.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it works.
Well, more than ever, there's cross-pollination. I mean, you got the underground hip-hop scene.
Like the SoundCloud scene, or like...
The SoundCloud scene with, you know, the Puyas and those artists. And, you know, the little pumps and all that stuff.
Little Pump. Little Peep. Sorry, went to my high school. R.I.P. Yeah. But Little Pump, Gucci Gang, right?
Yeah, I mean, but a lot of those fans, a lot of them listen to underground metal and hardcore. It's a thing. You know, it's that Puya, Ghostmane, the Suicide Boys, Team Sesh, you know, those guys, a lot of them are influenced by the punk, you know, mentality or music.
Post Malone.
You know, I mean, Post Malone's a prime example of a big metal fan. I mean, he comes out to a lot of our shows all the time.
That's so sick.
You know, so... But it's a prime example of mixed bill working because of the cross pollination of the and the internet taking it, letting it that happen. You know?
With the ADDJ mentality of when you're on Spotify, you can listen to a song for a second, then listen to a song by Day to Remember, then listen to a song by Drake, and then listen to Garth song, and somehow it works.
Yeah, for sure. But that's why I feel like the metal, punk, rock, whatever scene is resurging, or it will have a. It's a rise because the underground hip hop SoundCloud scene, who's very influenced by, you know, these artists, are exploding.
They wear metal shirts.
Absolutely.
It's so cool when I see that in like Vibe magazine, like a Slayer shirt. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, so we have a lot of those artists that have that line of, you know, having hardcore punk fans, but also hip hop fans, you know? So 33 and West is big on just being diverse, you know, and being able to represent all kind of artists, you know, and all kind of, you know, also actors, age, you know, actors, directors. That's a big thing for us, you know, TV and film.
And you said sports too, right?
Sports, you know.
So, CAA does that. All the big agencies do that and different sources of income.
Yeah, for sure. It is. It's good to be able to supply that side of the company for your clients too. At least
how many
have that.
People besides you, Dan, and Matt are there?
There's right now. There's Troy Lawton, who's an agent, and then there's Randy Newport.
Okay, so shout out to both of them.
Yes, shout out to them. But yeah, I mean, it's if you read the article in Polestar, it's more about the culture and the kind of like redefining the agency culture. Mm-hmm. You know, when you work
like for a mission statement type deal.
Yeah. You know, it's very, you know, we worked at other companies, you know, big, large firms and boutique agencies and had our own companies. So you take, you know, what you like and you don't like from these scenarios or like these experiences and you now apply it to your own company with two of your ride or dies who are Matt and Dan, you know, and now we're
it's
able.
It's your Gucci gang.
Exactly. Yeah. So we're just we're redefining our own culture within our own business because it's important to us to have an open door policy or you know the you know
like CAA like the best book I've read about music in general was not about music. It was the CAA book where everyone and I talk about this a lot where basically it's like the account of like the people who are there and it's like paragraphs by certain people. And why CAA was able to rise so quickly and where the other agencies weren't was that when your client succeeds, it's good for the company. When the other clients, if one of Matt's clients succeeds, it's good, as opposed to you competing with each other.
Well, yeah, I mean, that happens internally where, you know, if a company is not structured or the morale isn't set to be very team oriented, or if it's very like, hey, this is your roster, that's your roster, everyone gets on their own island,
everyone in your own lane, and start fuck everyone else
and starts competing with each other. Yeah. And like a lot of times they forget, like, well, if we all succeed, or if all of our clients get that festival, or if all of our clients get this tour or whatever it may be, this is helping everybody.
Well, the other way sounds toxic. It sounds like going somewhere and just being like, I care about me, fuck everyone else.
Like our whole thing is like you come into the office and we're all high-fiving each other.
That's awesome.
You know?
Like you're at a WWE event.
Yeah, exactly, right? But it's like that's important to us. It might not seem like something like big or it might sound kind of stupid to some people, but to us it's important because like you want to be able as an owner now, I'm a partner in a company. I'm not just an employee now. It's important for people who want to come work for us. They want to come into work. More than half of our country probably hate what they do, but they go in and
more than half, dude.
You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
They hate what they do and they go in and make ends meet and do the job and pay their bills.
You know what my wife does for a living? She's in HR. Do you think that people come to the HR department to high five and hug and say good things? And I've worked in law and I've worked in music too. And there's nothing worse than being on the weekend and being like, fuck, Monday's happening. Yep. There's nothing worse than that. We only get 24 hours in a day. Some people get less days than others. Why make it harder?
And we all have bad days. But like what I tell myself is, I don't have bad days. I have bad moments. Because I'm
fragments of a day, kind of.
Yeah,
thing.
Yeah, I have bad moments within a day. I mean, I'm still alive. I'm still healthy. I'm doing what I love.
You're wearing
right?
clothes. You drive a car. You eat food.
Correct.
We're better than. I mean, not better in terms of like condescending, but we have it better than people in Somalia who don't have clean water.
Sure. Yeah. You know, I think of it like that. Like, yeah, I get upset with a promoter or one of my bands or a manager or whatever, but then I'm like, you know what? Like, it's all good. It's all good.
That's
you know?
A first world problem.
It's all good. And we want to make sure we give that vibe out to our company and to our peers as well. Like, hey, like, yes, it's competitive. Yes, it's important to strategize and like, yes, further your artist or your client harder than that other artist. But at the same time, like if everyone's not making money and like the world's not going around, like we're all kind of fucked. And that goes down to the promoters too. Like, yeah, you want to.
You even asked me if you could curse before, and you did. So we're good. Fuck, fuck, fuck. Fuck it, fuck, fuck.
Yeah, but like, dude, like a lot of like agents sometimes think like I need to grind this promoter for every dollar and every blah blah blah, and like that's okay. But like, if the promoter is not making money, we're all fucked because they're the one paying our band and we're commissioning the 10% or whatever.
The words okay and sure. I mean, like it's just like eh. It's like the least preferable. Yes.
Like I try to make it to where. You have to make, yeah, you're looking out for your client, but now more than ever, the way the state, of course, the economy has gotten a lot better, but for a minute, it was like ticket sales were down and promoters were getting their ass kicked in, hence Warped Tour for the past couple years were down in numbers.
And now everyone's back.
You know, but like that's you have to think like that as an agent, and plus like my promoters are my people, like that promoter, that guy or that girl, like they're relying on me to like make a living. But at the same time, my artists are depending on me to make a living. So it's that middleman of making sure promoter makes money or at least breaks even, because a break even still a win. You know, you don't lose any money. And your artist making some or not losing money either, you know? So
it's a lot of different arenas. And yeah. It's a lot of people think about it. And when a band is bigger and bigger, it's the lighting people, it's the sound people, it's the roadies. And when it's a band that's smaller, the bands are taking time off of work. So there's always something with the mo money, mo problems, or no money, shit ton of problems.
Absolutely, you know. So for 33 and West, it's hopefully that's an understanding. I know it's a little hard to explain, but hopefully I explained it a little bit,
dude,
you know.
Dude, I got it.
It's also really fresh, which is very exciting to us, because it's like now for the first time we can be able to do what we want to do. I mean, we can now, the empowerment thing is a big thing for us, you know, a lot of agencies, you know, the whole like, hey, you're an assistant for 4 or 5 years and this is the time you have to put in and that's what it is, you know. I don't necessarily believe in that.
The quote-unquote paying your dues thing?
I don't necessarily believe in that. Like, I understand paying your dues, but some people are just a little more advanced than others. That's just the way life goes. That's
the
way life is.
Fist, dude.
That's the way life is, you know? So
Pack of the Disco. Not every band is Pack of the Disco, even though every single band that I ever meet wants to be where they're signed before their first show and now they're selling out the Forum. So it's, I mean, it can happen. It's hard. But yeah, unfortunately, like, I learned at a young age, I'll never be in the NBA.
For
I
sure.
learned that some people
well,
are
also,
meant to do
well, so. Also, I believe that a man like LeBron James is born with a gift. All right. Regardless of what my religious beliefs are or not,
it's fine.
That dude was born with something because he ain't no average guy out there.
And Albert Einstein was born with a different brain than other people.
Correct.
And Freddie Mercury was born with lung prowess and vocals better than literally everyone.
Yeah. So. It's important for us to understand and see that, especially as a business owner and a partner, that some people we hire, employees we want to hire and develop, some of them will exceed quicker than others. And that's okay. Nothing's wrong with that. But it's empowering that person who's further along to be like, you know what? Instead of pushing contracts and getting ticket counts for the next 3 years, hey, let's work on some artists. Let's route some tours. Let's book some shows so that you can have the trial and error with, you know, learning something, learning a pro and also a con of what not to do. You know, that's a part of the process. The problem with our world is a lot of people are so scared to mess up and have,
or even scared to try the field
or have a mistake, yeah, because they feel, because especially agents, like people think we're perfect. You know, but like we're humans.
I can tell you this right now. I know agents aren't perfect. I could tell that without a shred of
like
doubt.
We're perfect. We're humans still. Yeah, you know, so like it's okay to mess up and learn from your mistakes.
As long as you have accountability. As long as like if you fuck up, you say you're sorry. You don't say I'm sorry, but you say I'm sorry.
My bad.
And you learn. Yeah, I fucked up.
Yeah, fucked up. My bad.
Human.
You know,
we're human.
It's okay.
It honestly is, because if you're a good person and you're accountable, it's fixable.
For sure. Absolutely. And that comes with the I'm big on the mentorship. I mean, a pure example.
Well, that's what this show, by the way, speaking of mentorship, after you say whatever you're going to say, because we're almost done.
Yep.
I want you to mentor the tens of gazillions of people listening right now.
Yeah. I mean, it's a prime example of, I'll be quick as possible, but like, you know,
not trying to rush you, it's just they have to kick me out.
Yeah, the get the fuck out.
Yeah, no, it's like, all right, Waldman, your words are done.
The words are over.
Yeah, no, it's Waldman's word. That is Waldman. Where's Waldman?
Yeah. what I was gonna say is the empowerment is important to 33 and West, to give our hirees and our employees able to work on bigger projects and let them take accountability and roll and run with it, you know, and see how they, you know, how they achieve or not achieve, and then sit down and then go over like, hey, what could you have done differently? I feel like a lot of times, I'm not saying every agency and every company is this way, because like a lot of companies do good, you know, empowerment, and they do good development, but a lot don't. You know, and they look at people like, oh, you're an intern or you're an assistant. This is the way you're
like
treated.
A caste system.
This is the culture of our culture, and you're an assistant, so you get looked at differently. But you know what? That assistant one day might be your boss, and that's a fucking true thing, dude.
I just want to say this before you mentor. So I worked at a law firm for 5.5 years, and my seat was literally next to the kitchen. I was a legal assistant. And I noticed so much about how the managing partners, the partners, the lawyers, the paralegals, the legal assistants, the office assistants, I noticed which ones would say hello to the guy cleaning the floors. And I would notice which people would say pleasantries to the other people. And you can learn so much about people. And usually the people that were doing really well happen to be the ones, believe it or not, who are like human to other people.
Yeah, for sure. And like spitballing from that is, I want to make sure people who work for 33 West don't fear us, they respect us. And that's a big part of it, because I've been in situations where employees would come to work and they're scared they're gonna lose their job, or scared.
Well, they're scared of fucking up things.
They're scared of their higher ups, because they, one, don't know their path, but two, you know, like they get shit thrown at them, or like that whole entourage. I love Entourage, but like the dude Ari Gold in the show, I love that show. It's great. But like, you don't treat
Jeremy
people,
Piven. You don't, had relations with my ex, so I can't even watch that show.
You don't. Jesus.
Yeah, literally. Jesus. Yeah, can you imagine? Sorry, I've never said that on the air. Anyway,
but you don't treat people like that. Yes, you could be stern with people and say, hey, that's incorrect, or they don't do that, dude.
But you don't treat people like pawns.
You don't treat people like shit.
Yeah,
you know.
No.
You want people to respect you, not fear you. It's a whole that's our whole motto, you know?
Well, I respect and not fear that motto, and I appreciate that motto as a fellow human, so fist bump.
I can't reach you.
We're both not. I just touched JJ's fingers. So I guess if you could maybe tell me about two clients you have quickly, mm-hmm, and then actually before that, just – what advice would you give to someone in Montana who wants to be a booking agent?
Man, that's tough, because Montana is not very big on like shows.
No,
you
it's
know?
Not. That's why I picked it.
Yeah, no. You know, whatever scene you got, or you know what, if you don't got a scene, you try to create it. I know it's very it's very hard to understand maybe because how do I do that? But you know, it's a tough one because I was from West Palm Beach, so we had a lot of shows coming through. I would meet tour managers. I mean, go to shows. You got to go to shows, period. You got to go to shows. You got to be on the front lines. And if it's in Billings, Montana, or Helena, or wherever the fuck you want to go.
Montana City, Montana.
Wherever you got to go to go to a concert, you go to a concert and get in the culture. And, like, you keep going back to shows, and you finally realize, okay, that's the sound guy, or that's the bar manager, this is blah, blah, blah. And you just start chatting. You start talking to people saying, hey, I want to be involved. Like, you know, I have a really good ear for this style of music. You know, I'm really, and of course, know your trade. If you're into metal and hardcore, know the bands, know the companies, read books, you know, listen to these podcasts, you know. But
listen to Waldman's Words on Adobe.
Correct. But the main one is go to shows. You have a lot of kids now are just so behind their phone.
They're typing.
They're keyboard warriors, we call that.
Oh, dude, or social justice warriors. It's everything.
So you got to get out in the field and meet people. Like if you expect kids, the younger generation just expects, oh, I'm going to email JJ or email this person and get a reply because it's how the world is. Like, that is not true, actually.
Or email just a link without any introduction.
Yeah, you have to put some, this is a very hands-on, like, job, you know, hands-on a career, you know, in path, you
and
know?
I say this all the time. So many people, and I love this industry, and I'm grateful, and I've met some amazing people, but I feel that there's so many people that I met that don't even like music.
For sure.
That blows my mind.
Well, yeah, I got it. I mean, I got into it because I liked music.
Same.
I didn't know if this was going to happen this way, to be honest. I barely passed high school, dude.
You're here now and you're making a living in music, and I started management because of an accident. So it's like shit changes your life. But
that's why when I speak at UCLA and some of these schools, they ask me, they're like, how'd you get into this? And it's a hard question to ask because it just...
You've always been into it.
It just happened. Sorry. It just happened.
You're loud. You're getting emotional.
Yeah. I was trying to burp. I had to hold it in.
Dude, trust me, there's some gases that's been in this room. I have yet to fart with a guest here, so I'm going to hopefully keep it that way.
Yeah.
So I guess highlight two acts that you're with right now, and then we'll call it a day.
Man.
I know it's hard to do.
It's a tough one. I will say one band that has been the word loyal I use very strongly because there's not a lot of loyal people out there.
No.
There's not a lot of loyal bands out there and artists that understand, hey, if it's not broken, don't fix it. But that's my little tangent on that part. But I would say one band, they're my brothers, and they're having their moment. And they've been a band for a while, but now they're having their moment is Icy Stars.
Damn right
you
they
know,
are.
Icy Stars.
I saw them with Crown. It all comes back at the Roxy.
Yeah, they were direct support to Dance Gavin Dance, who's one of our clients, who that's another phenomenon of a story. Is that the right word? Phenomenon, right?
It's the movie with John Travolta. Yeah, okay. Let's take it.
But I would say Icy Stars, they crushed it on this Dance Gavin Dance tour, and they're having
that moment. The biggest record of their lives right now.
Yeah, the top 10 album
in
the country. Shout out to Derek Brewer and Matt Pike, 33 and West.
And shout out to Brittany, who was on the show.
Yeah, nice. So I would say Icy Stars, and then off not metal, I would say is King Little G. King Little G.
I've never heard of King Little G.
Is a hip hop artist based out of here, and he's definitely the forefront of he raps in English, but he's Mexican, but he also raps in Spanish. But he's
remember
like
Trace Delinquentes?
Yeah, I do.
That I remember that.
Yeah, he's the poppin' underground Mexican rapper right now for me.
Well, there's a ginormous market for that, especially where we are. So.
Yeah, so big on that. And real quick is Dance Gavin Dance. Like, congrats to those guys for sticking it out and going through what they went through, because that band has been through the bottom barrel. And you know what? People
wrote them off.
People wrote them off.
Wrong.
And, you know, Matt Pike in our office, you know, and Derek took them under their wing and reformed that band and reintroduced them. And the band's, you know, doing, you know, 1,500 to 3,000 tickets on their own.
When I was telling people about Warped last year, I would say, like, the five biggest bands. And it was crazy because I was like, I Prevail, Dance Gavin Dance, Neck Deep, Attila. Like, I wouldn't have thought, but those are like four of the five biggest bands on Warp that year. And like, so it's pretty freaking nuts.
Yep.
Shout out to Dance Gavin Dance. Their new record's great. And shout out to you for coming here right now.
Thank you.
Thank you. every single Tuesday, 5 o'clock our time zone, 8 o'clock Eastern time zone, Sunday mornings, bright and early, 5 a.m., 8 a.m. Eastern time zone. Go on iTunes, subscribe to Waldman's Words for free, 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 free. Go on the Adobe website, stream everything for free, 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 free. And I guess I'm going to do one more adjective and just say rad.
Refreshing.
Two R's. R&R. Later.
Late.